Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, time now for the watch list, our guide to the best TV and cinema for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by radio and TV producer Owen Sweeney and writer Henrietta McCurvey. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Henrietta, we'll start with the good news. Nobody Wants This. Huge success for Netflix last year, and it's back. Season two is up now.
Everybody Wants This is actually what happens. Season one had 26.2 million views in the first 2 weeks of October last year. Netflix must be so happy. So season one was less of a will they, won't they for Kirsten Bell as Joanne, who's a plain-speaking, sex-positive podcast host, and Adam Brody's hot rabbi Noah, because they immediately did. So with all the fun dialogue, the chemistry, I think season one you could sum up as first comes love, and then season two is and then comes life. So this is them as a couple. You know, they are, it's kind of a cute sort of podcast style intro to season two. It's just them doing life. It's relationships, birthdays, discussions about the future. But obviously there are things sent to test them. You know, her being in a happy relationship is kind of tricky for the premise of her podcast. He has to deal with the temple chatter, as his rabbi boss calls it, trying to keep them apart.
As the temple boss said, I don't listen to it, but I hear it.
Exactly, it's such really good performances, like a full ensemble cast. It's charming, it's sharp, it's witty, and it really skewers the self-obsessed culture. Morgan, that's Joanne's sister, said to her in the first episode of season two, I have to tell you something, but I have to give you warning, it's not about you.
Brilliant. Okay, that's Nobody Wants This and season one and two on Netflix now. Oh, and Girl Bands Forever is starting on BBC Two next Saturday. So it's less forever than since the 90s, is that
right? Absolutely. That's very apt, actually. In fairness, they're doing episodes one and two next Saturday evening on BBC Two, followed by a bit of a compilation of All Saints, and then followed by the mama of them all, if we like, the trio that sang in unison through our childhood, Bananarama. But we are starting with Girl Bands Forever, very much in the mid-1990s. There's lots spoken about the Spice Girls. They don't feature in primary interviews. There's lots of archive of them. We'll have seen a lot of that before, but we won't have heard perhaps from Melanie Blatt of All Saints or Kelly Bryan of Eternal, and they're brilliant first-hand accounts. It is kind of it's fairly linear. It takes us from, you know, 93 to the end of the 90s, if you like, in episode 2, which I've watched a small bit of, but I'm enjoying it, so I'm going to save it. Starts at, you know, the millennium, so it's fairly formulaic in that sense, but it's fairly hard hitting, and I'm not going to give away much of the good stuff. Good stuff in terms of content, if that doesn't sound too arch to say it that way. But it ends, it's very much a female take on celebrity and pop
and how they were treated.
There's lots of men in the background, and we see a little snippet of Pete Waterman. You know, he didn't really have a lot to do with this. He was kind of, you know, over at that stage. We see there's All Saints original manager. We see bits of Simon Fuller in archive, and then we're going to get Andy McCluskey, who in fairness I love as an OMD fan, who was kind of I think he was quite paternal to Atomic Kitten. He wrote a lot of their songs, and, you know, when OMD hit the skids. Thankfully, that period is over and they're back. But anyway, so Melanie Blatt's brilliant. And what's really interesting is kind of she still has a bit of a grudge towards the Spice Girls, because they had what she thought manufactured instant fame, which, you know, was basically what happened. She had been labouring with Shaznay, you know, her co-conspirator in the All Saints, for about 3 or 4 years. And then suddenly the Spice Girls come along. And there's a very funny quote. It's very much at the start. And Kelly Bryan, interviewed separately, kind of joins in as well. And just kind of going, what was it called? If You Want to Be My Lover, you got to get one. What was the song called? It seems a bit catty. And then Kelly Bryan goes, I thought it was a demo. Now, in fairness, she's right. When you listen to Wannabe, it's terribly thin.
Okay. But anyway, it's
really entertaining.
About this all day.
Absolutely.
Forever.
It's
BBC Two.
Watch
next,
it. There's a lot Saturday. Of good content. Absolutely. And then the noughties and the next one, then the 2010s.
Okay, we'll move on a bit faster now. Henrietta, for the time of year that's in it, you've been looking at an RTÉ documentary, Iha Hauna, An Ancient Mystery.
Yes, it's on this evening, the first episode, 7:30, and tomorrow, 6:30, RT1 and The Player. I think here in Ireland, Halloween just about wears the cloak of its Celtic origins. like Samhain was lifted from the pagan calendar when people lit fires in defence of the darkness. So this two-parter, it uses science, archaeology, folklore, mythology to reveal how many modern customs are actually rooted in Samhain beliefs, especially the idea that the other world draws closer. Now, some of the footage is a bit familiar from other shows about, you know, seasonal customs, but it is really good contributions from expert archaeologists and historians, and it's filmed here, the US and France.
Okay, Iona, an Ancient Mystery, that starts this evening, 7:30, and finishes tomorrow, 6:30 on RT1 and The Player. Owen, tell us about John Candy, I Like Me, on Amazon Prime now. People are loving this.
They are. Look, firstly, it's too long. It's 2 hours. It could be an hour and a half. But it does feature, it's very much, you know, like all documentaries, the bar is fairly low. So this is good. As a subject matter, John Candy is immensely likeable, as you'd imagine. He comes across great family man, proud Canadian, which I love because I'm always interested in kind of that semi-permeable membrane in terms of kind of on-screen talent between either side of the 49th parallel between Canada and the United States of America. He was in the right place at the right time, but he was haunted. The family stuff is very revelatory. His son is here basically trying to investigate what his dad was like because he died over 30 years ago. He died in 1994. So it'll take you back to that the happy kind of 80s and 90s. Macaulay Culkin's brilliant in this, talking about Uncle Buck as well. John Candy looked out for him with his off screen with his own dad. Macaulay Culkin's issues all stem from, you know, the family stuff behind the scenes. So he actually says, I miss that. You know what I mean? Because he went on to, you know, catapulted into massive fame. But anyway, look, he was at the right place at the right time. Dan Aykroyd, Daniel Levy, Martin Short, Catherine O'Hara, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis, all those people were in Second City in Toronto at the time. So how could you fail?
They're all Canadian.
Okay. And so Second City in Chicago was doing something similar with people from that end. Yeah. But what a time to be alive or to be a comedy actor.
I'm going to go back and watch Trains, Planes, Automobiles, all of them.
It's called I Like Me from that great scene. I was kind of going, why is it called I Like Me? And then, of course, I remembered and they deal with it because, you know, he says, his beleaguered kind of weather-beaten character in Planes, Trains and Automobiles when he's berated by Steve Martin, says, I like me, my wife likes me, my customers like me because I'm the real article. And okay, that's essentially
John Candy,
there's
I
no
like
dirt,
me.
But it's very enjoyable.
Okay. Henrietta, what's Once Upon a Time in Space, which starts Monday at 9 p.m. on BBC Two?
Oh, this is so good. This is made by James Bloomel. He made that fantastic show Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland, which we talked about before. And he actually reveals that it was Russia's war in Ukraine was the key driver for his pull to make this documentary. He said when countries and multinational companies distanced themselves from Russia in the weeks following the invasion, the only place where collaboration and cooperation with Russia continued was on the International Space Station, orbiting the Earth. And he just got really interested in how a common history could overcome earthly politics.
Yeah.
And the result, I mean, this is a fantastic strand that he does, the Once Upon a Time. So the series uses archive and present day footage, first-hand testimony from astronauts, visionary scientists, engineers, space tourists, the billionaires, astrotheorists, to tell the story of exploration of space since the last trip to the moon in 1972.
It's a real people-first show, behind the scenes. Briefly, having watched it, can you see why Disney Plus felt the need to remake The Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
I can, because if you're not a totally new parent, perhaps you might want to sit with your beloved and watch this story of a childminder who psychopathically inveigles herself into and basically gaslights the mother. Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays the Annabelle Sciorra role. Micah Monroe plays Polly, but she's not quite got the menace of Rebecca De Mornay, because if you remember the 1992 original, look, it's safe territory. It gets increasingly kind of tension packed, and the soundtrack gets more clangy as things go on, or clanging, I should say. The child is good in it, the dad is useless in it, but you know, it's a TV movie, really, in a small screen sense of a big screen remake.
Okay.
If you're sitting on the couch before you go to bed and you want a little bit of a scare, but not too much of a scare,
watch it.
You know what you're getting.
Henrietta, Mob War, Philadelphia versus the Mafia is on Netflix now. It sounds a bit better than your average true crime, is it?
It is, because of the footage it has. It's sort of Sopranos plot lines getting played out in real life. In the 1990s, there was a brutal mob war between two men called Joey Stanfa and Joey Merlino in Philadelphia after the incarceration of a psychotic mob boss. It's all very Sopranos. What gives this story its interest and its edge, I think, is that most of the planning of their hits were caught on tape, which is a plotline we're familiar from The Sopranos. So you see the FBI strategy in detail. They set up the camera in the law office. There are the meetings, you know. And I think it's three episodes, which is too long. But that whole thing, that whole side of it is really interesting, because after years of all these men denying that not only were they not in the Mafia, but La Cosa Nostra doesn't even exist, and then they have it on tape. they're saying the word. So it was a massive moment for the FBI.
Okay, so big question. How many episodes of it are there?
There's three, there which too is many? Too many.
Yeah, okay.
too many.
Got it.
Right.
Owen, something practical now. For parents looking to entertain the kids over Halloween, there's a few classic screenings you want to mention?
There are, and they're fairly widespread, general re-release, I should say. The first one, of course, if you cast your mind back to 1985 and a certain young man and crazed scientist going all the way back to 1955 and inventing Johnny B. Goode and Chuck Berry. It is, of course, Back to the Future, which is 40 years old, ladies and gentlemen. So that's in the cinema, as I say, on kind of general release, and I think that'll be well attended next week. That's fun for all the family, particularly the mums and the dads who would remember it the first time around. And I must give mention, Henrietta was bigging up Netflix's accounts and their happiness with their viewing figures. Well, K-pop Demon Hunters, the all-conquering event that is the biggest thing ever, not only just made by Netflix, but I think the biggest thing ever on Netflix, with 325 million views, unique views. Since June. It is now sing-along event in the cinema, so the words will be on screen. If you don't know the words to Soda Pop already, you can sing along with 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds. You'll have a great time. The kids will love it. And that's going to clean up, I think, at the cinema, particularly if the weather's like it is today.
And that's on the big screen in Omniplex and other selected cinemas nationwide. That's from next Friday, I think.
That's correct,
yeah. Yeah. Henrietta, After the Hunt, which is also in cinemas now, just briefly, this sounds like it should have been way better than it is, yeah?
I think somewhere inside this ridiculously overlong 2 hours, 19 minutes film about the repercussions of a sexual assault is a really interesting 90-minute film struggling to get out. Yeah. And it doesn't quite make it. It's set in Yale, tracks the fallout when a doctoral student called Maggie Price, played by Ayo Adebiri, accuses her philosophy teacher, Hank, Andrew Garfield, of sexual assault. Hank's best friend and colleague is Maggie's professor, Julie Roberts. Actually, good performance. And
when all sounds brilliant.
The ingredients are all there. Like, it's just the recipe is wrong, I think. But okay. So I would say maybe not for the cinema, but definitely on streaming when it appears.
Owen Sweeney and Henrietta McCurvey, thank you very much for that. That's all we have time for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.